Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 64, from April the 17th of 1993. We are still in Hayside, Virginia, so we got one more week here before we move on to the new venue on next week, and some big things happening in the next couple weeks. That said, Harper's a little salty this morning. Skype was giving him problems. Harper, how you doing this week, man?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm glad to hear that, pal.
Yay.
Hey, I'm glad you're doing good. Doc, what about you, man? You all right?
I got my Pop-Tarts here. Is it too early to crack a beer?
I thought you were lighting the bong up, it sounded like.
No, I don't do that, pal. And then it sounds like Harper's properly processed his feelings, so I think we're ready to start. I mean, I'm ready to do, like I say every week, I'm ready to do the one thing that keeps me from doing the Von Erich thing.
We just all sat there and complained about the State Fair of Texas and the bullshit that comes with, and the waste of money that can be on games for stuffed animals you're never going to win. Even if you win, you're going to spend a fortune doing so. So let's roll. All right.
I'm different. I'm special. It'll happen for me because I want it to.
Yeah, get bullshit.
Get the fuck out of here. You need to stop wasting your money on bullshit and head over to the store and buy some BTT shit. That'll get you through life.
Be blessed and be a blessing. That's right. The Buddy Landell, I don't want to call it Buddy Landell T because it's really not, but it's Be Blessed and Be a Blessing t-shirt is up on our T Public store. If you just look in the show notes, you'll see a link to it.
It's the one shirt you can wear to BTT shirt you could actually wear to church and get away with.
I wouldn't say that because there's a bubble, a pop-up box, a thought box that comes out of the man on the shirt, and it says, "Busting them guts out." Hashtag BTT Army.
I bet I know what that means.
I'm gonna stay with my earlier statement that that's the only shirt you should wear to church.
Can you imagine walking into a Catholic church and a priest
right
says,
there? Stop. No, I've never walked into a Catholic church, so no.
Well, I don't mean just Catholic, but any church, and a priest looks at it and goes, "Oh, look at that. Good job,
sir."
What a nice
comment. Now, wait a minute. What is busting out guts?
You mean fucking right.
That's nice, Hopper. All right, let's get into Smoky Mountain Wrestling from episode 64, April the 17th, 1993. At the very beginning, Dutch's sign says, "I hate Bob." When Bob questions Dutch still says it's nothing. You know what he does. He goes, "It's nothing." Dutch tells us that the Night Stalker will be his guest on Down and Dirty. The Beat the Champ TV title match will be Robbie Eagle versus Bobby Eaton, which Bob throws us right to the ring for this one. Harper, anything from the opening real quick there?
Nope.
Yeah, me either. Doc, what about you?
I just thought Dutch was actually kind of dressed up here. A tie on. Button-up shirt. He's looking good, pal. He's dressing for the job he wants.
Goddamn, pal. Dressing for the job he wants. That's some self-help shit that you read, too. Just for the job you want. All right. So we go to the first match. It's Bobby Eaton versus Robbie Eagle. Robbie Eagle actually gets some good offense in during the early going with a hip toss and an arm drag, just to name a few of the moves. And then less than 4 minutes into the match, though, Bobby Eaton gets the win. Harper, you first. Any thoughts from the match?
No.
Me either. That was all I had. Doc, what about you?
I thought it was funny because Dutch says he doesn't call corny names and then turned around and called him an egg-sucking dog right after that. That was wonderful, normal Dutch. And I, to your point, I thought Eagle had a lot of offense, and then Eaton just kind of rolled him up out of nowhere, and it was over. It was kind of an odd match.
Yeah, it just
I wonder if at this point, Corny is using the short time he has Eaton, more on that later, and Horner to try to get some of the underneath guys, like an upcoming friend of the show's debut and Stro here and other guys, some experience while they're here.
I would lean toward what you're saying right there. And then,
I think
you got a point there, because we are going to see throughout Smoky Mountain, we eventually start seeing some of the, I guess you'd call them, the enhancement talent start to become higher level guys. I don't want to call them all top guys, but higher level guys, right, Doc?
Yeah, and we're also kind of in a period of slow transition where we're going to, over the next few months, be losing some folks and bringing some new people in. We've done that. I mean, we've lost Orndorff. We've lost Garvin now. You know, some guys are going to come and go throughout the life of the promotion, and we're kind of in there. So
I think Double A's left, huh?
Probably.
Yeah.
He told you. He said, I don't know how long this is going to happen, so you better get your ass to the building.
Yeah, he. It was a very, very. I don't even call it a run. It was a short, very short appearance. A couple of episodes for him.
He said, "You may never see it again, so you better get there while you can."
That's right. All right. So after that match, we roll into Jim Cornette and Bobby Eaton, and Bullet Bob Armstrong update. So let's give that a listen. This will tell us where we're at with a few things going on in the promotion right now, and further some things along. So here it is.
All right, fans, right here.
A toothpaste across a toothbrush, and I'm begging you to brush them.
Please, for all of our sakes, please brush them. Brush them. They can't even find them.
Brush your two teeth.
Brush your teeth.
Yeah, both of them. Brush them twice a day, both of them.
Did you get the things a little calmer now in the camp?
Let me tell you something. Everything's under control. Beautiful Bobby and Dr. Tom and Sweet Stan, everything's great in the heavenly bodies. Bob Armstrong, last week, he decreed that Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard were the only ones that could defend the tag team title, but I'm going to appeal that. What do you want?
I think we got something else from Commissioner Armstrong that you might want to hear about.
I don't want to hear nothing from Commissioner Armstrong. Oh, if you got to do it and get it out of the way.
All right, fans, right here. Let's hear this from Commissioner Bob Armstrong.
You know, I got big news this week. I had to take off my tie and unbutton my shirt because I've been digging for 6 days, and what I came up with, Jimmy Cornette, you're not going to like this. What I found out, that beautiful Bobby Eaton is still under contract with WCW. He never even told him he was leaving. He just disappeared and showed back up with you, his old boss. WCW hadn't said a thing about it because he was such a troublemaker there, causing so many problems, they just let it slide. And here he's picked up with you. Well, he's got no contract with us either, not Smoky Mountain. I was in Japan when he came, if you'll remember right. I just assumed he'd signed all contractual agreements. I find he's got no contract here. Now, I know he's the Beat the Champ TV champion. I'm not about to take him to court on that. I know you'd take us right to court on that deal, so I'll tell you what I am going to do instead. When he loses that TV championship, that Beat the Champ championship, he's going to be out of here. It may be next week. It may be a month from now, but when he loses it, he's gone. He can go back to WCW anywhere he wants to wrestle, but he'll be gone from Smoky Mountain Wrestling as soon as he loses that title.
What about
he'll
that?
Do anything. He will do anything. Only Bob Armstrong will do anything to get Jim Cornette in the heavenly bodies. Now he comes up with some kind of bogus contract thing. Hey, Bobby Eaton is a member of the Heavenly Bodies Incorporated. His name wasn't on our original charter, but it doesn't make any difference because he's a member of the corporation, and he ought to be allowed to defend the belts. And what's more, there is no way that you can force a man. Yeah, well, what are you going to exile him to Siberia?
Smoky Mountain lawyers don't see it that way.
What's he going to do next? Try to send him to what's that prison out in the middle of the ocean somewhere? The Barak? Send him to Alcatraz? What are you going to do next, Bob Armstrong? He ain't going back to WCW. You can't force him. He got a release from that contract, I know, because my lawyers personally supervised it, and they haven't cheated anybody since that last lawsuit. And I'm going to tell you this. Bob Armstrong, you're treading on thin ice. Like I've said before, I'm going to get you some way, somehow. You're trying to dismantle Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. You're trying to tear down piece by piece and bit by bit everything that I've worked myself into a frenzy for. And I'm not going to let it happen. And Rock and Roll Express, I know that you're the ones that's putting him up to it because you're scared of us. We're going to embarrass the Rock and Roll Express out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Bobby Eaton's not going back to WCW. There's no way. I got him released out of that thing, and we're going to find some way to stop this.
All right, fans, we're going to be back. We'll have more action. Woo, it's hot here. We'll be back right after this.
All right,
Woo,
Doc.
It's hot here. Woo.
You go first, Doc.
There's a lot going on here. Does it overall... At the high level, I'd say at the meta level, but I don't want to lose everybody, including
Jesus
you two.
Christ, asshole.
Does it seem like there's an inordinate amount of court cases and lawsuits and paperwork snafus and these city slickers are coming in here and trying to get us? And by city slickers, I mean Bobby Eaton.
Everything's a court case.
Yeah, injunctions.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like the fourth one.
These people are just distrustful. How does Bob, how does Bob Armstrong keep his job as commissioner if he's got guys that he can't even figure out who's got a contract and who doesn't?
Well, the one thing I loved was when I was listening to him, I questioned myself, how come WCW never said, hey,
what the fuck are
you doing?
That's a good question, but we know how they're run, so there you go.
And then he responds with, he was such a troublemaker, they didn't give a shit. Oh, okay.
Right.
He answered that question. And
right.
I was thinking, well, he's been around here for a good while now. Why didn't you do anything? Oh, I was in Japan when all this shit happened. Oh, okay. That answered that question. So he kind of covered his ass.
Yeah, he really did. He did a good job of explaining it all. Like,
right.
So if you're watching it in 93, like, oh, all right, well, I guess you make sense there. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, okay. And then it's funny because in hindsight, I mean, now that we're in 2017, we have come to hear how WCW was being run back then, and it's completely plausible when you rewatch it that those motherfuckers just, you know, oh, he was under contract and we didn't realize it and he was working for another federation. Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Now, we wouldn't have known that in 93, but we know that in 2017. But to the point you made, Harper, yeah, he ties it up nicely. He explains it all away as far as what's going on. I agree. Doc, what else from you? Anything else?
Yeah, hold on. I had to move my paperwork for just a second. I was,
okay, I thought you were eating a Pop-Tart, blueberry.
Well, no, not yet. Okay. I'm saving that for later.
Okay.
You know, I still pop at those stars, that backdrop that they got BA in front of, that we saw last week. That's just ridiculously bad, which makes it ridiculously awesome.
I don't know what's up with that. I'm like, what the fuck? Every time I see it.
The one thing I liked about it, and obviously this is corny getting at Jim Herd and WCW, but it's just like he made out of all of that. Again, he's got Eaton, he's got Arn, and now he's saying that WCW was so stupid they didn't even know they lost a guy that was like a multi-time champion in their federation. He's continuing to position Smoky Mountain as equal to or better than WCW. And if you go back and look at some of the numbers from right around this time, they're drawing about the same amount of people in a lot of places.
Yeah, because I wasn't watching.
Mike,
that's a great point. Well, go ahead, Doc.
We talked about that before, and we've heard about that, is that in that 93 range, they might have been running neck and neck in a lot of parts of the country with WCW's dumbass.
No, you make a good point, because I talked about it months ago on a flagship show. I actually quoted some attendance figures from around this time for both promotions, and Smoky Mountain was outdrawing them. I'm not saying they were putting fucking 10,000 people in a building and WCW was putting 1,000, but there's cards that if you go back and look, they were outdrawing WCW.
That's crazy.
I mean, I'd have to pull, I don't have the records in front of me right now, but
that says a lot more about WCW than it does Smoky Mountain, to be honest.
You gotta realize too, as you say that WCW at that point still had a national TV show. So you're still on national TV, and yet this little engine that's in the freaking Smoky Mountains is outdrawing you. What does that really say? I mean, and it's crazy because
let's take a, you know, Zach Morris time out and go over here and discuss something else, which is, you know, where we're headed. They had a working relationship because Watts was there. They felt like this was their minor league supply. They could have that working relationship. But I wonder if some other part of this is Because you know how the suits work in a big corporation. They start sniffing out potential competition. What's getting ready to happen? Oh, no, we can't do that. We got to squash them. I wonder if that's some of what happens that ends the WCW Smoky Mountain relationship as well. And maybe Jim doesn't even know that because it's discussions that, you know, happened at on the WCW side.
I don't think so. Because Jim has said that to us. He was talking about I don't think that had anything to do with it. The thing that had to do with ending any relationship was when Watts went out.
I think that's the major driver.
Okay.
But some fair bean enough. Counters looking at numbers and doing some market research might have been like, holy shit.
Okay. All right. So good discussion there. Let's move on, though. After that, we got a recap of the Night Stalker and Kevin Sullivan and the bad blood between them. They recap Bluegrass Ball.
Hold on, buddy.
What?
Mike?
What?
Who is singing?
Hold on. I was about to bring that up. So during the recap of the brawl, when Sullivan turned on Night Stalker, they play a video package with the Night Stalker with War Machine playing in the background. Doc, I will tell the story about War Machine. So I have been familiar with this song for years. Lord Humongous in the Mid-South Wrestling came out to this song long before Taz did and anyone else who did. Because, Hopper, is it just me or did every fucking wrestler at some point want to use this song?
Fucking War Machine?
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, I mean, I'm saying because, like, Lord, I guess for me, I remember Lord Humongous using it. I remember, and the Lord Humongous I'm talking about is from Mid-South, 85. I remember then Taz and then this, and it just felt like it was like the popular, and then I was on indie shows, various indie shows in the mid-90s, mid to later 90s, where everybody was using this shit too, especially once Taz made it popular. And so I'm gonna expose myself. I don't know who the fuck sang that song. I'm sorry. I don't know who sang the song. So one day I texted Doc and said, bruh, War Machine, who is that? And he lost his shit on me via text message. You stupid idiot. It's freaking Kiss. Okay, Doc, is that good enough?
I'm just glad that we finally taught you something. And now today, you're smarter than you used to be.
Okay, so
but my that's other the story. Note here, as we have War Machine behind, you know, as the music for the War Machine highlight clip, I did a little extra research. You know, War Machine was off Kiss's 1982 record, Creatures of the Night, to add more factoids for your brain. But War Machine is a 4-minute-and-14-second song. So I started wondering how many times they would have to show some of the Night Stalker highlights twice to fill up 4 minutes and 14 seconds of video on Night Stalker highlights.
Good point there, Doc. I don't know. Did you track it? Did you?
Well, I think they cheated a little bit by putting in some, like, just him cutting promos instead of doing moves. And a couple of those moves were kind of sloppy. And I was like, oh, so there you go.
All right. So, Harper, anything else to add as Doc's making fun of me with my...
About War Machines? Yeah. No.
Okay.
Well, all right. I thought it was kind of dated, though, for this time.
Dude, fucking Smothers uses Charlie Daniels from the 70s. Dirty White Boy uses Foreigner. The crazy thing is the most recent to the time entrance music in the promotion is the damn Stud Stable, who are the old farts that like to drink beer and fight, and they use the Black Crowes, which was probably only about three years old at that time.
Yeah.
All right. Now
everything
that I got
is like 20, at least 20 years old.
Now that I got a music lesson, are you all ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What that
I just remember. I just remember a couple of months ago when Tom Petty died, and you pulled that shit on me, and a bunch of the Docaholics came out and told you that Tom Petty mattered. So I always feel like we need to help you along you see that you can be a well-rounded member of society.
First off, I never said anything about Tom Petty bad, so let's move on. Next matchup after this recap is Roger Anderson versus Kevin Sullivan. My exact thoughts when I saw this Roger Anderson guy standing in a ring was that Anderson must not have been watching Smoky Mountain the last few months and weeks, because if he was, he would have ran and not just stood there and waited for Sullivan to bludgeon him.
Yeah, he attacked really. Sullivan.
He's fucking crazy after right. what Sullivan's done the last 7-8 months. That's just me. And then, so anything on that before I talk about the Tasmaniac running out there, Harper? Anything from that?
As soon as Sullivan's the fucking music hit, I was like, oh, this guy's fucked, man. Just leave. Just fucking leave, bro. Seriously. Just go home.
I was thinking to myself, it's kind of like Paul Garner and what's his name? That was in NWA.
Vernon Deaton?
One of them, Garner or whoever, and the
Bob
freaking Road Warriors music hits, and they're just standing in the ring lollygagging like a bobblehead doll. It's like, what are you doing? Run. It's like the murderer just got let loose, and he's coming at you with a 9mm weapon, and you're just standing there, shoot me here in the chest, buddy.
Yeah. That's like that old Cedric the Entertainer. White people be like, what's going on? White people are like, what's up? We got to go.
Yeah, just start running.
Start running.
So, okay. The Tasmaniac comes out with Sullivan. Bob Caudle formally tells us that his name is the Tasmaniac. So we now know that, you know, this is his name, because I don't think up until this point they had said that. Match is very short. Anderson does win, but it's only because Sullivan pulls out a pipe and starts whooping his ass. Harper, thoughts from the finish of the match and anything there?
He didn't sell the pipe. I don't think he sold that pipe, at all.
He probably could have done a better job of selling it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
He's just kind of sitting there just.
Yeah. Agree. I agree. I'm with you there. Doc, what about you?
Well, this is Roger Anderson's debut, and I noticed he's not a small guy. He's got some size to him, you know. He's got a build. But that's not going to do him any good in this match. What is it about Sullivan and his opponent's arms? Man, he carved up an arm. He's trying to hit one with a damn pipe. So he's going after arms, apparently. And that thing that he's hitting him with doesn't look gimmicked like a Triple H sledgehammer at all.
Well, his spike ain't really gimmicked.
No.
We saw what he did to Kanemura with it, so why does that shock you?
It doesn't. Okay. I just want to point it out.
All right, cool.
And how come no baby faces came out?
I don't give a damn
Fuck
about
that
guy. Right, that's exactly what I thought. Fuck that guy.
That's
exactly why.
That was the subliminal message that was sent to him. We don't know you yet. You're new.
Yeah.
Who the fuck are you? Okay, so after that match, Kevin Sullivan with the Tasmaniac, we've got a promo here. Let's listen to what they have to say and then what happens afterwards.
I was standing by with Sullivan. Evidently, you don't have control over everybody. You don't have control over the stalker any longer.
Let me tell you something. You know, sometimes when the sheep wander from the flock, the wolves and the beast are out there ready to prey on them. You see, Stark, what are they doing? What do they think they're doing?
Well, they're carrying him out of the ring, Kevin. And now here goes Kevin and the Tasmaniac back into the ring. They had him on a stretcher, carrying him out of the ring. Hey, Dutch, come on. I mean, enough. Now they're beating up on the security.
Well, he saw them.
Holy cow.
He saw the man trying to take that Roger Anderson Kevin. Back to the dressing room on the stretcher. I don't guess it agreed with him.
Hey, wait a minute. Those aren't wrestlers. They aren't professionals. They were security men. They had Anderson on the stretcher going to just carry him out of the ring. This guy's... He's completely...
All right, I'm going to stop it here. This reminded me of the time when the stud stable like dumped a guy off the gurney, and Harper's commentary on it was, man, they were just like, yeah, fuck you, asshole. So I'll throw it at Harper first. Let him give me my thoughts on Sullivan dumping this guy off the gurney.
They're not wrestlers, and they're not fucking EMTs either. And I love what they got one guy who's outside the ring. Is a security guy wearing red sweatpants. And he just looks so white trash with the red fucking sweatpants and that yellow security t-shirt on. It's like, God damn, man.
If you're wearing red sweatpants, you better be warming up to get ready to play a game for the Houston Rockets, because otherwise there's not a good reason for you to be wearing red sweatpants.
You're right. They're not EMTs. They're just security putting him on a gurney.
Okay. Okay, but that one long-haired security guy that took he took a hell of a bump on the first one. That guy was a worker, because he took a flat back bump when they hit the ring, and it wasn't like, you know, somebody who has never taken a bump before. I noticed.
Yeah, he probably was a he may have been a trainee or
at the SMW School of Hard Knocks,
possibly something like that, or you know. He was actually, he may have been wrestling on cards in the area, and, you know, they were like, hey, he was like, I can take a bump, and he was trying to get involved with Smoky Mountain, and he did take a bump, so quite possibly.
A little more about Roger Anderson, did a little digging here, and this is a tie back to the show. He became, after this, a member of a tag team called Death and Destruction. It was Frank Parker and Roger Anderson. They wrestled in the Southern United States in the 90s as a heel tag team. And also in, what was, I guess, SSW, perhaps, and, also had in, some sort of alliance with a friend of the show, Bo James.
I knew you were going to say that when you said SSW.
So, just thought I would tie that back in. And then my last note is Taz looks like he ought to be in the Insane Short Posse here, you know?
Okay. All right. Yeah.
The face paint doesn't work here for him, I don't think. It makes him look kind of cartoonish.
Yeah.
It does. It does. Harper, anything else from you?
Nah.
All right. I'm going to play a short bit from this local promo, because Smothers throws a line out. After the Sullivan and Taz promo and then them dumping the guy off the freaking stretcher, there's a Sawyer Brown plug. No thank you, I'll pass.
I got a point about that.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sawyer Brown looks like a band full of Tim Horners.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought this would go wrong, but there you go. That's actually a fair point, Doc. Good job there. No.
Thanks.
It was a quick one.
Thanks, pal.
Goddamn, pal. You got a point there. So let's go to the Tracy Smothers local promo after all that. And he throws a line out here that I just came unglued on. Here it is.
It's the Night Stalker, a Tennessee chain match for the title, the Dirty White Boy, against the new champion, Tracy Smothers.
That's exactly right. You know something, Dirty White Boy? Last time I was in Barberville, I thought that was the toughest match I've ever been in my life, man. You knocked me out with that chain. But the Bluegrass Brawl was even tougher. But the thing about it is that I outsmarted you, and I showed every man, woman, and child out there that I'm capable of being the Smoky Mountain champion. The proof's in the pudding, son. I'm going to show you how the cow eats the cabbage. When I come to Barberville, I ain't coming for a wrestling match. I'm coming for a fight, and I'm going to stick that chain up your buttocks sideways. Then I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to watch the rock and roll strut and stroll all over the heavenly bodies and the stud stable. Give me five.
You got that right, Tracy. You know, I want the people to stay tuned, because in a few minutes, you're going to see one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. But you see, that's all right, Jimmy Cornette, because paybacks are hell, brother. Let me tell you that. But you know, right here in Barbersville, we got a three-man team. Anything goes.
Fight.
But you see, Jimmy Cornette, this is not going to be nothing else compared to Pikeville, Kentucky. We're not out here crying over spilt milk. But one thing we are going to do, Jimmy Cornette, I'm going to prove to the whole world that you're nothing but a closet queen, brother. One of us has got to go. I don't care which one it is. The Heavenly Bodies, it's going to be you. You're leaving here because rock and roll, we're here to stay. We're not here to play. We're going to run you plumb out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yeah.
Got that right, man.
Hello, everybody. Okay, so the rock and roll was fine. I mean, nothing spectacular. But Smothers' line, I'm going to show you how a cow eats cabbage. Harper, did you catch that? And if not, did you catch anything else from that?
I mean, what does that mean?
It's Tracy Smothers. Does it have to mean anything?
I like the crazy closet queen.
Yeah. That was brutal.
Yeah.
How do you turn a? How do you stick a chain sideways up someone's butt?
We're gonna find out.
I guess we will find out.
Like you could take like a can or like you know like an aluminum can. You know, there's objects that you could turn sideways and do that, but a chain doesn't appear to be one of them.
He's gonna just put it like in a ball and just shove it all in there.
Oh, but if you turn it sideways, Jesus. It's still a ball.
Wow,
so what does turning it sideways do for you?
God damn it!
Right,
you're ruining it for us, man. Come on. Okay.
Hey, is it just me? And I noticed this in this promo, and I'm not saying this. Let's be fair. Rock and roll, legendary Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. This is an observation only. But I noticed in this local promo, I said, is it just me or is Ricky aging rapidly in the last couple of years here?
Oh, no. You could see the aging process taking over in both of them by this point. You can see, I mean, this is 10 years after you know, they jump into Mid-South, and they've had some wars at this point from Mid-South to the NWA. They're aging by now. I mean, they don't look anything like they look now, but yeah, the business is taking its toll on both of them at this point. You can start to see it, yes. I agree. They were still banging some rats.
Well, who wouldn't?
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Let's move on to the next promo. It's Down and Dirty with Dutch and the Night Stalker. I gotta be honest, y'all, this was
You know, don't play it. My only note on this was Night Stalker needs a manager in the worst way.
He needs somebody talking for him. This was just.
Oh, this is when they're like sitting in like the back room or something.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I watched this a week ago. I don't know.
I don't remember, but he just, it's not interesting at all. It's just, like, you know, Harper, you said it either last week or the week before that. You like, once the whole deal or the gimmick with him ended with Sullivan, he just sounded like a country, you know, like a freaking.
You could hear the kind of southern drawl.
Yeah.
Start to come out.
He just was a hillbilly a big, strong hillbilly, and that was it. And that was basically what I saw. He's doing nothing for me at this point, but. You know, we'll see what else happens. All right, so I'm not going to play that. We'll go to the next one. After the Down and Dirty with Dutch, we got a recap of the match at the Bluegrass Brawl with Smothers and Dirty White Boy, and then Smothers, then a Smothers promo. So I am playing this. Let's hear what Tracy's
You're
got
damn
to say.
Damn right you are.
You know, when I first came to Smoky Mountain Wrestling just a few months ago, I said I wanted to climb that ladder. Climb the Great Smoky Mountain on that stairway to heaven and get a shot at that Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that someone would jump me from behind, cost me to lose the TV title, which I managed to win, and cost me $5,000, and then burn my grandfather's rebel flag, man. You know, winning and losing wrestling matches is one thing, but that's another. And then after that, he bops me in the head with a chain, man. And then Ron Wright comes out of his chair and costs me to lose the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title, which I promised the people that I'd bring home to them by jumping out of the chair when everybody knows I think he could walk all along anyway. But you know, that's fine and dandy, but April 2nd in Pikeville, Kentucky, the Bluegrass Ball was the biggest moment of my life. The opportunity meets preparation. Preparation meets opportunity. I was prepared. There was the opportunity. And I come out with a gold. I outsmarted you at your own game in the Tennessee chain match, the one that you were expert in, Dirty White. I got all the respect in the world because that was the toughest match I have ever been in my life. I wrestled every Tom, Dick, and Harry in this sport, from Antonio Inoki to Sting to Big Van Vader to Ginger and Terrible Ted the Wrestling Bear. But you take the cake, big man. I know that you're the toughest opponent. Unbelievable. I cannot sit here and say that was the hardest fight I've ever been in my life. But you know something, man? That's the biggest moment in my life, but I'm in there in a post-match interview, half beat to death with that chain, the new Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, and you come in and you bust me over the head with a board, with a 2x4, and you kick me in the groin, and then you browbeat me and embarrass me on the biggest night of my life, man. Well, the ball game's not over. You're right. There are some more chain matches, and I'm going to tell you this. Yeah, I'm not an expert in no chain match, but I outsmarted you, and the proof's in the pudding. I showed you how the cow eats a cabbage, white boy. You want to talk about running up there to New York City and fighting some street gang? You got a gang right here, man, because
because I'm from Springfield, Tennessee, and I run with a group of guys on my softball team called the Thugs, and that stands for T is for terrible, H is for heck. Hurt, U is for ugly, and G is for jail, because a thug can't spell. But one thing we spell very well, and it's pain, and we spell it F-I-S-T. Oh, yeah, I'm stuttering a little bit because I'm mad. This belt means as much to you as the rebel flag my grandfather's meant to me, man. I'm not looking at you. I ain't going east. I'm not going west. I'm coming north and south, and I'm coming right through you, dirty white boy. When I get done with you, they're going to change your name from dirty white boy to dirty white trash. I'm American by birth, and I'm Southern by the grace of God, and the South has risen again. I'll see you in the ring, big boy, anytime, any place.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Jesus. Christ.
That's good shit, huh?
Here's the thing. He stumbled earlier with the preparation meets opportunity and all that kind of stuff, and if it was Horner, he would have just stayed there. But Smothers recovered, and because you know he can recover, and because he did recover, you give him a pass on some stuff, right?
Well, the stuttering, here's the thing about stuttering in a promo when you're angry like that. It actually makes perfect sense because sometimes you stutter when you're fucking angry, or sometimes you lose what you're trying to say when you're angry because you're angry. So you're an emotional being and you're just rattling off things off the top of your head, and sometimes you get lost. I mean, that part made perfect sense. I was fine with that. Horner just stumbles just to stumble. He's just a stumbler. That's his gimmick.
I don't want to spend the time here on Horner.
Right.
This is the first time, but not the last time, we're going to hear the term thugs. And just because he stumbled over that, it's T is for terrible, H is for hell.
Hurt.
Right?
He said hurt.
I know, but later, U is for ugly and G is for jail because a thug can't spell. Dude. The first time I heard that, I came on. Yeah. That shit is awesome. I want to go play on that softball team, dude.
Yeah.
Harper, you need to ask Tracy about that next time you see him. How do you spell thug, Tracy? Hey, Harper.
He's going to do this promo.
Right. While he's taking a piss. All right, inside joke.
And so that right there is just that, and that you will see thugs if you're. I don't want to spoil things, but if you're uninitiated to the rest of Smoky Mountain, thugs will become a big player in a year. Or I don't know exactly when, but down the line, and let's just say, so that's not gone, and it's an important historical piece that's where that was introduced. I also really liked the one when he said, when I'm done with you, you'll be dirty white trash. I thought that was effective, too. But, I mean, shit, the highlight here is the thugs piece. That shit is awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right, Harper, anything else before we move to the next match?
Oh.
But I think it'll be cool to find out, like, this whole softball team was and get a jersey made for when he comes to to a show and fucking wear that.
Doesn't he have those t-shirts, those thug t-shirts?
I
think I've seen them.
The rebel flag one.
Okay. Flags are probably easier to transport.
Okay. I thought he had a shirt that has thug on it like that. I'll have to look, but oh man, that was good stuff. After Tracy is Mike Sampson versus Dirty White Boy. Dirty White Boy wins this match with ease in a couple of minutes. He just beats Sampson's ass. And then he insults the man further by hanging him over the top rope as we go to commercial. Doc, your thoughts on this?
My only thought about this is Sampson didn't look like he was real interested in letting his feet off the mat and really get hung for real. He looked like he was like, no, sir. I am not doing this. No, thanks.
I agree, Harper.
If you go back and look.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. It seemed like he was like, man, fuck this.
I'm
not doing this.
He was not trying to be hung, but, you know, wrestling and hanging people is a thing, so he should have put a little bit more into it. Anyway, okay, after that is a Rock and Roll Express promo, and let me just play it, and then I'll tell you my thoughts. I'll go first once we wrap this one up, or once it finishes playing. So here it is.
All right, fans, and here with us right now, Rock and Roll Express, Robert Gibson, Ricky Morton. Rick?
Well, you know, Bob,
I'm sick and tired of Jimmy Cornette coming out here saying he's going to get rid of the Rock and Roll Express. Well, you know, we spent a lot of many times around here and a lot of hard work, and we're not going nowhere, Jimmy Cornette, because now Bob Armstrong has come up with some new rules that we know for sure that we're going to be able to take those Smoky Mountain tag team belts from you, Cornette. And you better believe it, big boy.
Come here, Tom. Hey, rock and roll.
Wait a minute.
Rock and roll. We got a going away present for you. I wanted to get you a bus ticket, but they don't send buses where I wanted to send you. So we got you a little going away present. Come on and open it up and take a look at it.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. You a coward or what? We got you a going away present. We're trying to be sports because you're leaving. So go ahead and take a look at it.
I'm sick and tired. Let's go,
Robert.
See you.
All right. They say they got a present for him down there, ringside fans, and Ricky and Robert are going to go down, so let's see what's happening with him. Cornette's got a big box right there on the apron. They threw powder right into the face of Robert Gibson. They got Gibson blinded. Cornette from behind with that tennis racket. Here comes Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane. All three of the heavenly bodies and Cornette now attacking the rock and roll. Cornette with a big racket right into the midsection of Gibson. Gibson can't see. Dutch, they got powder right into the eyes of Gibson. They got him blinded. They beating up on him while they got Morton down.
Okay, what's going on? Morton stepped away from the table.
I'm letting it play for a reason.
What are they pouring on?
He's pouring something all over Morton, and I don't know what the heck it is. Wait a minute. What's he got now? He's tarring feathering him.
Oh,
he's putting feathers all over him. He's tarring and feathering him, Dutch. I can't believe he's doing that.
All over him.
My heaven.
Well, we said bad blood. Hey, there's a lot of bad blood running in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Now, I wouldn't go out there and help him, but hey, it's none of my business, you know, and I don't like either one of these teams. I hope they go ahead and annihilate each other.
And throw the box right down on him, and he is completely covered from head to toe with feathers. And here comes Primetime Brian Lee, Tracy's mother, and the heavenly bodies make a quick exit. There you get a good look at tar and feathered Ricky Morton. Dutch.
He looks like a big chicken.
They said they were going to embarrass him and send him right out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. That's exactly what
all he's got to do right now is say cock-a-doodle-doo, and he'd be a bona fide chicken.
Fans, we'll be back. My heavens, let's take this time out.
So here's my thing. I've seen this a million times in wrestling. It wasn't a surprise that they did. It wasn't as much of a surprise. I remember when they did this in Mid-South a few times in various different ways. But basically, Cornette baits the Rock and Roll Express again, and then they tar and feather Ricky. After Morton is full of feathers, the faces may come out to make the save. Doc, how many showers did Morton need to take? And Hopper, you too. How many showers did Ricky Morton have to take to get all that off of him?
Not as many as you think, because I haven't have a talking point about that.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. What are your thoughts on
that? Well, it's a question for the group. I'm going to open it up for the groups. First of all, powder was involved, and you know I love the powders.
Yes.
I'm no road construction crew, but since when is tar clear? My opinion is that was honey.
Yeah.
Honey or
tar? That's what I was thinking.
I think it was actually that Cairo syrup stuff.
Whatever. So the question becomes, how hard is it to wash? Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I'd rather, you know, it's not like just going in and washing your hands, but it's probably not the same as trying to remove tar from your skin, which at some point when it was tried back in the old days, when they did it for real, probably hurt like fuck. So,
you think?
However hard it is to get syrup or honey, I mean, you could probably go do that experiment on your own time, but I'm fine with it. I don't care, because the term works, even if it's not actual tar, so I was good with it, no matter what.
Yeah, I was. Harper, what were your thoughts on this?
I was thinking, when this show was over with, someone had to clean that shit up.
I thought that too. That's proof you're getting older.
And I was thinking, bro, that's the first thing I thought was, man, I'm glad I didn't have to clean that shit up. Because that syrup on that fucking gym floor?
Yeah.
Bruh.
It took a lot of hot water and mopping to get that shit up off that court. Man, yeah, that was a mess. God.
Uh-huh.
I've seen it worse at the Irish McNeil home where they did the Mid-South tapings. They did that to JYD. Who the hell did Butch Reed do that? I think it was JYD. But they painted that the yellow stripe down his back, and they're like, they got paint like all over the floor in that freaking building. It just was nasty. So, I mean, I don't even know if you can get that up depending on what kind of paint it was back then. But to the point you're making, yeah, it was a mess to clean up. And then on top of that, Dutch at the end saying he looks like a big chicken cock-a-doodle-doo. I like that at the very end of it. But this was a mess. This was a mess. So, Harper, anything else?
No.
Doc, you?
No.
All right, let's move on to... So, right after that, they go to commercial and come back. Now, the Heavenly Bodies are going to... They got a promo, and they're going to cut after, you know, what just went down. And they're all teeth and gums right here.
I've seen some pretty low things. I've never seen you even begin to stoop that low.
Hey, I don't mean to say that anybody around Smoky Mountain Wrestling is chicken, and I always did think that Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson were for the birds, but it looks like that I'm going to have to come out here and start crowing about this thing because the Rock and Roll Express aren't all they were quacked up to be. Let me tell you something, Ricky Morton. I told you we would embarrass you and humiliate you out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling one way or the other. And that's exactly what we did, brother. Now these people, they can chant rock and roll all they want to. But the bottom line is we did what we said. We embarrassed him so bad, he'll never want to show his face again. You see, we didn't just think of this by accident. Ricky Morton, you think back. If you're not old enough, then brother, you ask your old granddaddy. Back in the old days, when somebody didn't belong somewhere, when somebody didn't fit into their neighborhood, when somebody had no place in the society that they were in, then some people came along in the middle of the night and they tarred them down and they feathered them up and they ran them out of town on a rail. Well, brother, it looks like Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies are going to have to straighten out some situations. And if we have to use some old medicine, that's exactly what we're going to do, brother. So you may look like Big Bird now, but we got you out of our hair. And believe me, I've read my history books, and I got a few other old tricks up my sleeve that ought to be brought back to modern day. Because, brother, we have only just begun. Bob Armstrong, you're going to feel the wrath. The Rock and Roll Express have already felt it. The Stud Stable will feel it. And furthermore, anybody who tries to challenge them.
Wait a minute. Where are you going? Here comes the Stud Stable. I thought you wanted them to feel it.
First of all, you've hit me with that racket your last time, boy. You've come out here and you've made fools out of everybody here, including yourself. If you guys are such champions that you call yourself Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard, you got any guts, you want to defend them belts? Me and the Stud Stable here want them belts. Get in the ring now, boys, and defend
it. Come on. He can't talk to us like no drunk alcoholic redneck is going to talk to us like that. He won the title match. Let's go get there. Finish them off, too. The belts are up. We're going to finish those two old drunks, too.
All
right, so, Doc, I'll throw it to you first. This leads to a match. We'll get to that in a minute. But the promo-wise, thoughts?
I got a lot here, too, I think. A couple of things I wanted to ask you guys if you thought so. So, first of all, as a black man, Mike, how did Corny comparing their tactics to the KKK make you feel?
Okay, Doc, you're so fucking funny. That was a strange promo. He went there, but fuck ever, man. It's wrestling.
Why not?
It's wrestling. I mean,
yeah, fuck it.
It's like, okay, here's I don't want to go off.
Here's the thing. if we're talking about a job, we're talking about pay, we're talking about, you know, not getting your ass whooped just because you're a certain color when you get pulled over by the cops, I'm for everybody being equal. But if we're talking about wrestling promos and that offended you, black ass, then I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because recently on the YouTube channel, you know, I put up a bunch of old Mid-South clips like months and months ago, and there's the angle with DiBiase and Ric Flair, and before that angle really kicks off, as a part of it, Butch Reed is involved with it, and fucking Flair calls Reed a boy, and he's really derogatory towards Reed in this angle before DiBiase beats up with Flair for the NWA World title in Mid-South. And if you go look at the comments on the video that's up on our YouTube channel at tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube, people are like calling Flair a racist, and he's an ass for saying what he said. And I don't respond to any of them, but I've seen some of them. I'm like, it's fucking wrestling. He's trying to get heat. He's trying to generate heat. He's doing what he's supposed to do. What he's doing is no different than what Steve Austin did to Nelly in The Longest Yard. Now, whether you want to believe Steve Austin to be a racist or not is another thing. That's another discussion. But the point being is, he's just getting heat. That's what he's doing, freaking job.
Separate the work from real life. I'm much more inclined and willing to go there with you if you think there's a better than zero chance that Ric Flair's a racist because he showed up at Mike Huckabee political rallies than I am something he said in a wrestling promo.
Well, see, politics into it. I'm not
talking about right or wrong here. I'm just saying you got to separate the work from real life, people.
Well, my point is, and I think Harper agrees with this too, because he does it with Walkhead on commentary all the time, is right. you make derogatory statements. Now, you might not push the envelope that far in 2017, Harper, but you say things that are racy, so to say. You say things that are edgy because you're trying to get a rise out of your audience, not because you're trying to be racist. You're doing it to generate heat. And that's all Corny was doing here. I mean, he's not trying to, like, especially if you listen to Corny now, he's probably one of the more, I don't want to get political, but he is not, he's clearly not racist to me. Let me say that. I don't believe so. But anyway.
So anyway, let's keep going. Corny is, in my opinion, has really, in the last few weeks and going forward, really hit a stride with this feud. And he's cutting awesome promo. I mean, come on, it's Corny, so it's never bad. But I think he's really he's in a groove. He's seeing the ball, if you will. The baseball looks like a beach ball coming up there right now. He's really, really in a stride. The last thing I wanted to ask you guys here, and I'm going to start this with, again, he's a heel, so I have absolutely not one problem with anything that I'm about to say. It's a question, not a condemnation. But do y'all think Jimmy Golden was drunk here?
No. I mean...
When he started, he slurred a bit. And then he cussed twice. And that's a guy who's been around long enough that he might drop one for effect. But the second cuss word, on top of what I thought might be some slurring, was like, I wonder if he knew he was cutting promos and had already hit his six-pack or whatever. And again, their reputation, in our mind, is beer-drinking badasses. So if he's drunk, I don't give a shit. I'm just asking.
Go ahead, Harper. I'll let you go first.
I don't think he was drunk.
Okay. Like I said, I don't care. I'm probably drunk right now. I don't know.
Well, it's too early in the morning for me to be drinking Hennessy, so I ain't drunk yet. But, I don't think he was drunk. What were you about to say, Harper?
You think he was drunk? Mike?
No.
Can you play it back? Can you play it back? Listen to it back. Listen to his first incoming statements. It kind of sound kind of slurry, and I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't care.
Let me see if I can get back to.
Yeah, we'll talk about things while you're doing that. But for him to cuss twice, you know, they could cuss once for effect on Smoky Mountain TV because you can say those kinds of things. But he did it twice. So
hold on. trying to. I don't have a timestamp for when he like chimes in and hits the scene. That's the biggest problem. Trying to find like when he comes in. Oh, here it is.
You wanted him to feel her?
First of all, you've hit me with that racket your last time, boy. You've come out here and you've made fools out of everybody here, including yourself. If you guys are such champions that you call yourself Stan Lane and Tom Pritchard, you got any guts? You want to defend them belts? Me and the stud stable here want them belts. Get in the ring now, boys, and defend it. Come on.
He can't talk just like no drunk alcoholic redneck.
I don't think he's drunk, and I'm going to tell you why. One, I'm not sensing the slurred speech. I'm just sensing he's just cutting a promo. Two, I'm looking at Cornette. I would think if Jimmy was drunk and Cornette was mad that he was cursing, Corny would have had more of a reaction than the one he had as the promo was being cut.
Fair enough. Discussion point only.
All right. So, anything else, Doc?
I don't know if we've been kind of down a rabbit hole here. To go back,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the substance used, we have now tarred and feathered a man. So, once again, we're pulling out all the Southern wrestling playbook here and, really using the whole thing. And I love it.
Pretty much. I can't add anything else to that. Harper, do you have anything?
The only thing left is somebody get a cake out there.
Well, just hold your horses on that one.
Yeah,
just. I mean, I'm not saying it's coming next week, but you know, of course, it was done in Mid-South. You think Corny's not going to do it at Smoky Mountain?
Come on,
Harper. Anything? Did you have anything else from the promo as far as Jimmy Golden or anything else Doc said?
Nah.
All right. After. Corny, I did have one thing. Cornette basically told Bullet Bob Armstrong to go fuck himself in that promo, but that was we started talking about a bunch of other stuff. After the promo, the stud stable and Heavenly Bodies head to the ring. It starts out with a four-way, you know, it's all four of them. Turns into a tag match for a minute or two, but then it's like, screw it. There's too much bad blood. Dutch, Eaton, and everyone else is involved, and the match is thrown out as a double DQ. Doc, a few weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, you said you thought that was the end of the stud stable. I think this is the end right here. I think they're done. And let's pour out a little liquor for the stud stable at this point. Because I think this is it. I'm not 100% sure, and I've said that a few times, but I think this is it. Harper, do you have anything from the stud stable on Heavenly Bodies match right there?
I'll be honest, I was kind of surprised to see him come out because I thought the feud was over with.
I did too. But, and I forget the exact date of the taping of this, that may be why they're still there, because of when this was taped. But I was surprised as well because I thought it was over. But, yeah, I think they're done here. Doc, do you have anything?
So this was another point where I was watching where I was like, I wonder if Golden's having problems because he went to the wrong corner at first. And then he kind of had to, like, move around and get to the right corner. So that's another reason why I said that. But it could just be he's a goofy dude. I mean, I don't know. And I don't care because this is awesome. My note here is it's always fun with these four guys. It's always a good just ass-whipping match, and I love watching them get after it. At some point in the match, Caudle called Shoe Baby Sugar Baby. So I don't know if he was throwing a code word out to a rat he had out in the crowd or something. I'd love to see Bob Caudle with like a fur coat and some rats and a pimp cup. And I'm doing some looking while you say whatever it is you say to see if this is the end of the stud stable. So
I think Dutch slipped on that fucking syrup on the floor.
Did he? I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Did he bust his ass, Harper?
He almost did.
He slipped, but he didn't fall.
Right, yeah.
Okay. I didn't notice it. I'll have to go back and see, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that shit's got to be, it's sticky, but if you got enough of it on the floor, bro, it's going to freaking, you can easily slip on it.
Yeah, that's going to cause a problem.
Right. I mean, it's going to be, it's Karo, if that's what it is, if it's Karo syrup like I'm thinking, you're gonna You can slip on it, but once it's also on your shoe, that shit's going to be very sticky and a pain in the ass to clean up. So, okay. Doc, do you finish doing your little research, or you want to move to the next promo and then while you're looking?
I don't see them in the future, so this may be their last appearance.
I'm almost certain it is, because I remember watching this the first time and thinking to myself, damn, I'm kind of depressed.
This makes me sadder than it probably should. And in real life, and is to be a much bigger loss overall than even the Orndorff or the Garvin or when the Koloffs left or the Fantastics. Because these guys, I think it's important to note that we knew who they were, but we didn't know a lot about them being from the geography that we lived in growing up. And these guys really, I think, changed all three of our opinions on them as promo cutters and as wrestlers and just general badasses and performers in general. So, again, like you said, tip your glass to the stud stable. That was an awesome run, and it really did change our opinion of them.
They're underrated to me.
Yeah.
By people who don't know, they're underrated. If your only only recall of them is WCW, Bunkhouse Buck, and Colonel Parker, you're missing out on these two.
And the other thing is that Corny has said he thought he was winding up Golden's career, and this run helped him get jobs in WCW where he made more money than it ever made before.
He got a six-figure salary. on WCW TV and as a booker for a little while, but very underrated. Harper, do you have anything else?
Well, this was the end. This is when they went over there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It does. Don't worry, though. They Corny was good at replenishing the cupboard, so to say, in Smoky Mountain. So let's keep moving, though. After that and the stud stable going away, we have a Rock and Roll Express. We have this local promo first, but I'm going to play the Rock and Roll Express one since the local one would break it up. So let's hear from the Rock and Roll and Ricky being tarred and feathered.
All right, fans, with Rock and Roll and Rick, they said they were going to embarrass you. They were going to get you out of the Smoky Mountain. If they had to, they were going to embarrass you right out of the Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Well, Bob, to some people this might seem funny, but to me, it's a very little sticky situation right now. But I swear to God Almighty that one of us, Rock and Roll Express or the Heavenly Bodies, is going to leave Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And by God, it's not going to be the Rock and Roll Express. Jimmy Cornette, you might embarrass me this time, baby, because it's one of the most embarrassing times of my life. But one damn thing about it is, boy, I'm going to kick your big fat ass all over Smoky Mountain Wrestling because you're out of here.
Fans, that's going to wrap it up for this week. See you next week, and until then.
But it was dropping a lot of curse words on this episode.
That's
Harper,
go ahead.
I was going to tell Harper. Harper, go ahead and go first.
They're pissed, man.
Yeah, they're pissed.
Fuck you, bro. I love when he's standing there and it's in his hair.
Right.
He looks like someone from, I don't know, like from Cats or something.
he looks so stupid standing there.
Yeah.
You know what else hit me when he's standing there? Besides the cursing, and I'll throw it to Doc in a second, is did they do rock, paper, scissors in the back with who was going to get tarred and feathered? Can you imagine Gibson getting tarred and feathered with all that hair he's got on his body? It might have been a little bit harder to clean off of him.
Well, he can't talk, so it wouldn't get the guy over as much.
That's true. Sorry at the eye of Gibson if you heard that, but yeah. Doc, what about you? What did you have from that?
Well, I think he's just, he looks like a horse's ass, a bird's ass standing there, which is exactly what you want, because now he's fired up and he's going to get revenge.
Right.
I wonder which got more calls to the TV stations, four cuss words in 49 minutes or a KKK reference, and then I think you know the answer to that.
Probably the curse words, but
yeah.
Know, whatever.
So I guess it's time to move to disability checks, huh?
Or did y'all want to do the Corny local promo?
I didn't have any notes. I thought it was a rehash of other things.
I did too. Harper, what about you?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Yep. All right, let's do disability checks. Doc, can you go first this time?
I can, and I don't mind doing so. And part of this is that I thought this was a sneaky good episode, meaning when I got done, I usually write down an initial number, and then I go back through my notes and see if I need to, you know, if I got that right. And when I went back through my notes, I actually bumped it up a little bit because I thought it was it like I said, it's sneaky good. So hopefully I gave you enough time to come up with your number because we know you didn't do any kind of preparation like that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to give this a 7.9. Somebody got tarred and feathered. The Thugs. Studs' last appearance. Lots of cussing and fire and heat. 7.9.
Okay, I gave it a 7.75. I had it written down before you, but I felt whatever. The same thing. Sneaky good. The tarred and feather was the thing that got me. And I mean, you know, you had some the thing that killed this episode. One, they didn't have Tim Horner, which was a good thing. That down and dirty segment was just bad with the Night Stalker. And
it should have been down and drizzling dirty.
That actually in. As far as the Tim Horner Award at Thin Man Within, who gave me that suggestion, Mark, thank you, man. But it's not going to go to Tim Horner this week. It's going to go to the Night Stalker from Down and Dirty, in my opinion. Harper, what did you give it disability check wise?
I got an 8. And okay. Yeah, that fucking promo with fucking Night Stalker was bad, but that fucking tar and feather shit, fucking that shit got me.
It was funny. It was funny. Yeah. All right. Hey, I want to remind everyone to become a patron. Please consider it. tinyurl.com/bttpatron. Best way to do it, just go check the show notes for the links or just type it in your web browser. tinyurl.com/bttpatron. Sign up. You get access to the World Class Championship Wrestling episodes and all the other patron episodes that are up online. Thank the Hall of Fame patrons at JShiny21, at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider91US, Justin Rasmussen, at ShepDaddy32, at USC49ers Dodger, at Gerald Green III, at T-Hog94, at SV Pageant, at MartinHowell71, at Tim Orechi, at Coleman822, at Gobbold Unreal, and at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. Again, it's tinyurl.com/bttpatron. It's a great way to support the show on an ongoing basis and get access to all of our patron-only episodes and a chance to come on the show and chat it up with me a little bit. All right, let's do the Government Cheese Award. I'll go first. I mean, how do you not give it to Ricky Morton getting tarred and feathered? So I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but I'm going to leave it at that. Doc, you want to go next?
Man, I really wanted to give it to Tracy Smothers for popping that Thugs line out for the first time. And Morton was in there for taking the big thing. But I said it earlier, and I mean it. Corny is in a stride right here. He did the tar and feathering. He cut promos. He used the KKK. I'm going to give my government cheese to the man himself, Jim Cornette.
Okay. I mean, I can't argue it. I can see that. Harper, what about you?
He ain't mind Ricky for taking the fucking tar and feathers.
I had to too. Hey, did y'all? I hope he did too. We didn't talk about this, but after he tarred and feathered him, did you see when he threw the cardboard box on his head? Like what the hell is that going to do? You just tarred and feathered a man. And then he tattooed him with his freaking tennis racket, but he hit him with the damn freaking cardboard box. So, overall, good episode. I mean, we were all close to the. I mean, Harper, you gave it an 8, Doc 7.9. I was 7.75. I thought this was good for the most part. You know, we've had some hot episodes lately. So I'll say this much, and I say it pretty much often. If you go back to episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then you look at this, this might not have been a perfect 10, but damn, when you think back from where this promotion has come, it's come a long way, and it's going to continue to get better. So next week, though, we've got a debut of a friend of the show who's on air. We've got actually two debuts on next week's episode, so we're going to get to that. We're going to record it now. Fortunately, you'll have to wait till next Saturday on the YouTube channel or Sunday if you download it on your app of choice. So, Doc, anything else before we get out of here?
Not a damn thing.
All right, I want to remind everyone, please use the Amazon referral link, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It's a great way to support the show on an ongoing basis as far as it doesn't cost you anything extra. So give it to your wives, give it to your girlfriends. Please use it, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. The holidays are coming. Buy your Christmas gifts on there. It really does help, and I'd appreciate it.
Hey, and, here's the thing. If you don't give it to your wife or girlfriend, Harper will, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, bitch.
That's real classy, Hoffer. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Hit the like button, and then after you've hit the like button, click the shop now button and go buy some pro wrestling tees from our t-shirt store. Again, our T Public store link is in the links in the show notes. So that's there with the Be Blessed and Be a Blessing shirt. I get questions about the Ron Wright shirt. That's in the show notes links as well. So check it out and support the show. That is another way to support the show. Pick up a couple of t-shirts for your wives and girlfriends. Why don't you give a Be Blessed and Be Blessing shirt to your wife or girlfriend and let them walk around with that. They do it as a gag gift, you know. Doc, maybe we should get that for our wives. Like a gag gift for Christmas.
Well,
man,
we need a female version, female BT t-shirt that's just bust my guts out.
That's nice. That's
nice. Offer.
That's real classy.
That's very, very classy. Lastly, before Harper tells
or
us. Here's, booking,
or BTT busted my guts out.
I actually like that. That's a great idea. That's actually a real good idea. That's a good one.
That's what I do. I named this show. I came up with Smoky Mountain. I came up with the NWA idea. I do everything around here.
Yeah, I bet you do, pal. Goddamn, pal. BTT busted my guts out for the women in the world. Great one. That's awesome. All right. Hey, check out my friends from the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, Kingpin, Brian Malonis, and Mike Crockett. On Monday and Thursdays, just search the WPAN wherever you get your podcast from. They do two shows a week. They're doing a lot more classic stuff these days, so shout out to those guys. And I think that's it. 5-star reviews on iTunes. If you haven't already done so, we could appreciate it. We're actually up to 124 as we speak, Doc. So we not only set the bar at 105 for a bonus show, but now we're at 124. So keep those coming. 5-star reviews on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Stop now and at the end of this show and write up something nice and hit the 5-star. That's it. We're getting out of here. Harper, hit the tagline. Let's go do episode 65.
Fuck it, bitch.